Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith. And with the Lord's help, perhaps we may conclude the teaching, the scriptures I've been sharing on faith, how to receive your needs met. We know that without faith, it's impossible to please God. And I concluded yesterday's broadcast with a very important and really profound point, and that is, as we've shared these scriptures on faith, we understand that Jesus commanded believers to have faith in God. And think about this, if it were not possible for you and I to have that kind of faith, God would not have made it mandatory. Think about this, if faith is commanded, and we know from the scripture that I've shared, it certainly is, then not to have that kind of faith is to, what, break the law of God? And what is breaking the law of God? It's committing sin. That's what doubt and unbelief are. And if believers would realize this fact, they would become desperate about this law breaking as much as they are about breaking other laws of God. You might never go out and commit adultery or go and get drunk or murder someone or rob a bank. But do you realize sin is sin in the eyes of God? We sort of whitewash doubt and unbelief as if it's really not that serious. If we could only realize that it is sin to have unbelief and to doubt God, we would at least be moved to the point of action against such lawbreaking. That's why I'm sharing this, beloved, because it's so important, especially in the critical times in which we're living. Most men, and I'm speaking now, as some of you are so on fire for God, God tends to bring people to this ministry that are. However, we're all in different places, but many of those sitting in lukewarm churches consider unbelief and doubt as part of human nature, something to be expected, not to be changed. The attitude has been that of indifference about it. Isn't that the truth? When it is easy to believe, there's no problem. But when it becomes a struggle and hard to believe, it's passed off as something that can't be helped at all. And the devil, beloved, uses this to keep people in bondage and prevent getting answers to their prayers. He makes them think not all men can believe God, and if one cannot do so, it's perfectly right to live in unbelief and to doubt and to waver. If prayer is not answered, most people will take it for granted. Well, I guess it's just not the will of God to answer that prayer I prayed. And they turn quickly aside from getting an answer and are satisfied to be defeated. And of course, when I'm saying that, it refers to those things that we know we can ask according to His will. You cannot, for example, Sister Glass, I met this most wonderful man at work, and he's just everything I've been dreaming about. Only problem is he is married, but, I just can't help how I feel. Come on. No, don't even go there. You just don't want to go there. Trust me. Don't expect God to answer that prayer. And the devil can do all kinds of things to bring you into deception. And, what happens when people go down this road? They put the blame on God, and they consider it God's will that they don't get the answer. And the truth is, they have really surrendered their rights to the influence of the devil and evil spirit forces who oppose the answers to their prayers. Remember Daniel? The angel Gabriel was sent to him, and he said, God heard your prayer when you called. He was on a 3-week fast. And he basically said the Lord had to send Michael because he was hindered by the prince of Persia. There was tremendous warfare in the heavenlies so that Daniel could not receive the answer to his prayer. This angelic visitation came only after intense spiritual warfare in that second heaven. There was a profound warfare. And so we have to understand that we are being opposed. Any inch of ground you gain spiritually, the devil is going to make sure that you're going to fight for it. And it's only God's mercy and grace that gives us the stamina, the strength to persevere. Remember, beloved, fight the good fight of faith. It's a fight. It's hand-to-hand combat. It's standing ground. It's using the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit, even as Jesus did when he was in the wilderness after that fast, 40-day fast, and successfully overcame the forces and attack of the devil, said the devil left him for a time. You know, people take it for granted that failure to receive the answer in their time frame reveals that it's not God's will to answer. They assume, well, I guess that's, you know, God's not going to answer that. And unfortunately, wrong teaching in the church has promoted this condition. Most preachers will defend failures and teachings and such teachings of failures as being perfectly biblical and the best will of God. But instead of accepting those things which are contrary to the teachings of God's word, if preachers would simply teach the pure, unadulterated word of God and then wage aggressive warfare against satanic forces, Satan would soon be defeated in the lives of multitudes of Christians. We simply throw up our hands if we don't, you know, we're in a society that wants things immediately. We've got microwaves, we want, you know, instant email, instant text messaging, all this kind of, we want it right now. We don't want to wait for anything. And beloved, one of the hardest lessons for the Christian to learn, and there are a number of hard lessons, and that is waiting on God. It's just that simple. We have to wait on him and believe him. And you know what? Abraham is our example. God told him, you would have a son, you and Sarah will bear a child, and they had to wait until it was impossible in the natural. So, you know, we can't tell God how he's going to move. We can't tell God how he's going to answer prayer. We simply have to be like Abraham, who believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. You know, the simple word of God is in many cases entirely ignored as the proof of anything. Suppose God does not answer prayer. Does this do away with his promises and make null and void his word? Or really, does it simply prove that man failed to have faith? Think about that. If the word says that God will always answer faith, and if we pray according to his will, then the lack of an answer simply shows unbelief. I'm sorry, we may not like it, but that's this is hard to accept. With our sense faith, this is hard to admit, but either the Bible is true or it isn't. It's just, it can't, you know, you can't be on the fence. It's true or it isn't. Unbelief, beloved, is a sin that so easily besets and overthrows the saints of God. And when we try to excuse and justify our unbelief and blame God for the failure, we sin against God. It isn't the major sins of the flesh that we permit to dominate us, but it is the sin of constantly doubting God, the sin that so easily doth beset us. If no man would doubt God, then there would be no failure to get an answer to prayer every time we pray. For anything that God's word shows us is his will. Let me share a few verses of scripture in Hebrews, the 12th chapter, verses 1 and 2. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. How about that? And the sin with dust so easily beset us. What is that? Well, I would suggest it could be unbelief, huh? And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. What beautiful, they may be familiar, but what beautiful passages of hope and faith. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He started it, he's going to complete it. Who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Don't you see this beautiful passage is saying that Jesus had faith through those terrible dark times? He endured such contradiction of sinners against him, and his passion, the terrible terrible things he went through, those final hours of his life, the agony in the Garden of Gethsemane, the cruel ridicule and physical torture and torment. The flogging of the Roman soldier was enough to kill a man. It stripped bare, it stripped to the bone, the very flesh. A lot of men never even survived a scourging. And then he had to carry that cross on his shoulders that were bruised and bloodied from the cruelty and the crown of thorns on his head. He did that for you and I. And why did he do it? Because he had faith. He knew what his Father had promised. And then he is now living in the reality of that faith. He's seated at the right hand of God. Beloved, nothing shall be impossible for you if you will believe God. Your faith can grow. It can lead to utterance. I don't have time to look at these scriptures. 2 Corinthians 4:13. It will work through love. Galatians 5 and 6. Through faith, we can clothe the naked. Matthew 6:30. We can heal the sick. It will dispel fear. Matthew 8:26. It will make us whole. Mark 10:52. We will be able to experience the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Acts 6:5-8. It will fill believers. Faith will cause us to be sanctified and justified. It gives us access to grace. It produces righteousness. It gives us safety and security. It brings blessings. It imparts the Holy Spirit. Galatians 3:14. It makes us the very children of God. It brings hope and salvation. It makes us conscious of the Lord Jesus, his presence with us. It quenches the fiery darts of Satan. It produces works and inheritance, and it keeps us true to God until we breathe our last, until we are changed, when we arise with those dead in Christ and with fellow believers to meet Jesus in the clouds, to forever be with him. And can you wait for that? Beloved, that's the kind of faith. We believe that, don't we? Well, let's believe for our needs being met. I love you with all my heart. I hope and pray that you receive the word of the Lord. And I invite you to write, share your prayer needs. Also, if any time you want to rehear a broadcast, feel free to go to our website, unveilchrist.org, and click on the broadcasts that are archived there for your convenience. I love you and pray for you daily. Until next time, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.